Lord, bless the meditation of our hearts upon your words. We pray for your Holy Spirit to lead us to understanding and faith. In Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. The gospel lesson is our text. I invite you to turn with me to that if you'd like on page 873 in our pew Bibles. I'm going to work through that text line by line. I don't have a big fancy introduction, but this is my goal. My goal is that you would understand there's a difference between being familiar with Christ and having faith in Christ. And my prayer is that as we look at this text, these beautiful teachings of Jesus about the narrow door, that the Holy Spirit would always lead us in true and saving faith in Christ. We begin at verse 22 with a verse that most of us might not think is that important. Might be one of those that we would skip over pretty fast, but it's a very important one to start with. Jesus went on his way through towns and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Why is this so important? Everything we read in the Bible is illuminated and understood in the light of the cross of Christ and the empty tomb. So when Luke tells us that Jesus is journeying toward Jerusalem, we are reminded of the overall work of Christ that's going on, and that everything he is about to say has to be understood in light of that bright beam of God's love for us in Christ Jesus. Luke later gives us that succinct truth in the words of Peter in the book of Acts. Peter was preaching at the house of a Roman centurion named Cornelius. And there, in that little message, Peter said that to him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. So with that as our beginning, we'll understand much better what Jesus is saying. Verse 23. Someone said to him, Lord, will those who are saved be few? Now, this is an interesting question. The answer to that question is a resounding yes. But what the questioner didn't understand was why. Why are there few who will be saved? It has to do with the popular teaching in Jesus' day, which was given by the most prominent and looked up to teachers that day, the Pharisees. Jesus summarizes the theology of the Pharisees in one little story that he gave, in which a Pharisee went up to the temple to pray. And the Pharisee prayed in the temple, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or like this tax collector over here. That is the theology of the Pharisees. And amazingly, that is also the predominant theology of our world today and always has been. When asked about salvation or whether or not we are going to see any good in an afterlife, most people default automatically to the fact that, one, I've not been a really bad person. You might look to adulterers or unjust or extortioners or murderers or rapists or whatever, and you say, I'm not one of those. And then they look to a few good things that they might pull out as examples. In the case of the Pharisee, fasting and tithing. But for anyone, it could be, I attend church, or I did this, or I take care of my parents or my children, or whatever good thing you can think of in your life. The default of this false theology is that somehow I will have eternal life because of some goodness in me. And Jesus is going to destroy this great lie of Satan. As he goes on to say in verse 24, strive to enter through the narrow door. This is important for us to understand that when we read the Bible, we have to read all of the Bible, and we can't just stop at one spot without considering that Jesus has talked about this before. In the Gospel of John, Jesus said that I am the door for the sheep. And in the 14th chapter of that same book, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So Jesus is the narrow door. But now he goes on to explain the difference between familiarity with him and faith in him. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock, saying, Lord, open to us, then he will answer you, I do not know where you come from. Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. Notice that the response of the people is a response of familiarity. You were with us. We knew you. But they never once say anything about believing what Jesus said. They never once say anything about repentance for their sins and looking to Christ for his goodness and his life and salvation that he gave for them. Nowhere in the Bible has God ever said that by being good, you can inherit eternal life. He does say in Matthew 19 that if you are perfect, if you are perfect, you will have eternal life. But of course, we all know that perfection is impossible because we have that problem of sin. And the real danger here in taking the approach of familiarity and I'm a pretty good person is this, that we discount and underestimate the seriousness of sin. Sin is like a terrible virus. This virus may appear to be more destructive in another person than it is inside of you, but it's still there, it's still growing, and it's still spreading through you and me, and it will still ultimately destroy everything sooner or later. And that is why Jesus says, I do not know where you come from. Depart from me, all you workers of evil. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. God has no part in this virus of sin, and not an ounce of it can be a part of his kingdom. And so Jesus urges us to look to his forgiveness of sins, his perfection that God gives to us by his blood, so that that sin can be immune, that we could be freed from it and healed from it in the blood of Christ. And then Jesus goes on to talk about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets of the kingdom of God. And he says in verse 29, people will come from east and west and north and south and recline at the table of the kingdom of God. And behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last. The difference here is illustrated by these wonderful saints of the Old and New Testaments. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were men who put their faith in God's grace. Isaiah, in the 6th chapter of his book, says, Lord, I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And Jeremiah, in the 31st chapter, said, turn thou me, and I shall be turned. And Moses wrote of Abraham, he believed the Lord, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. You would never find the prayer of the Pharisee on the lips of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, or any of the prophets. Let me illustrate how serious this is and how important it is. The goodness and familiarity approach to Jesus is so dangerous and potent and so devastating for us. It can literally keep us from the kingdom of God. But God calls us instead to faith, which is repentance of sin and trust in God's forgiveness of sins in Christ. We have in our congregation a man who is homeless. He's been homeless for years, and I've been helping him for many years. This man, if you were to compare his life with any of yours in this congregation, you would have many, many, many more good works than this man has in his life. But if you took into account all the circumstances of his life, you might see that it is difficult to judge. He was orphaned at an early age. He was raised in a bad situation. He was in an accident that crippled him. And he's made a lot of bad decisions in his life and still struggles with some of the decisions that he makes. But in the end, he still comes to repentance for his sins and faith in Christ for his salvation. And you see, we cannot judge when it comes to goodness. Only God can. And this is why God says, don't go in the direction of thinking you're good enough to be saved. Only go in the direction of my Son, Jesus Christ, the perfect one who gave his perfect life for your imperfect life. For this friend of mine, who is now in a nursing home, I want to bring him some pictures. Pictures of people who came from the east and the west and the north and the south. People like Rahab, the prostitute. People like blind Bartimaeus, who cried to Jesus, Lord, have mercy. Like the proud Pharisee Saul, who was knocked off his horse, blinded, and brought to repentance and faith in Christ. Like Peter, the coarse fisherman, who cried out to Jesus to be saved. See, this is the difference between familiarity and goodness. Goodness always leads to good enough, and good enough always leads to some level of complacency. But true faith in Christ respects the command to perfection, repents when we fall short of that glory, looks to God to cover our sins, not with our good works, but with Christ's good work and with his salvation. And then Jesus says we are to be striving to enter through that narrow door, not striving with our good works to achieve God's favor, but rather striving against the sinful flesh that wants us to rely on ourselves rather than to go to Christ and the narrow door. Striving against the world around us, which is constantly trying to push us in the wrong direction, but to live that life by faith, by repentance, forgiveness, and renewal of life. To listen to the words of Paul when he spoke them to a very rough around the edges pastor named Titus. He said that Jesus gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. So Christ has striven for us. He has accomplished our salvation. We are grateful for that. We rest with joy in those promises. And we walk away from here today ready to strive ourselves, strive to live by that faith and to do the good things that don't cover up our sins, but confess our faith in Christ, so that the world might also come to know Christ, the narrow door, as their salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Please rise. O Lord, grant that we might be faithful unto death and live in love and holy faith, that we from you true wisdom leaning and learning, that by your grace peace would be showered upon us, by your power Christ confessing. Let the world see our Savior's blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.